Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We will hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city, one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today we will hear from Ian Stevenson, founder and executive director of Trellis in Orange County, California, talking about step one, identifying evangelistic champions. In this step, an initial steering committee humbly guides the process for establishing the E-team, identifying those passionate about evangelism in your city, determining their role on the team, and equipping this team with the language needed to share the E-team concept. Who will develop this E-team with you? You must start somewhere, and the handful of people with whom you choose to begin this journey will have an enormous impact on the culture, influence, and ability of this effort to produce fruitful evangelistic growth throughout your city over time. Choose wisely. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Ian and Chris.
Well, hey, thank you for joining us on our walk through the Adaptable Playbook. I'm Chris Goffin with the City Gospel Movement's team at Palau, and we're excited to have a conversation about identifying evangelistic champions. How do you find the right leader? We've heard everything from, you know, churches rise and fall on the state of the leader, or initiatives rise and fall, or movements rise and fall because of leaders. And we just know that's such an important aspect of everything we do. And I'm super excited to invite Ian Stevenson into the conversation today. Ian is down in Orange County. And Ian, we've known each other for actually kind of for quite a while. I think we were roommates at a retreat in Colorado.
Yep.
But you've been in this work in Orange County with the Trellis organization, working in the Orange County area, 34 cities down there, for quite a few years now. I think 2015 is when you really kicked off. And yep. Super excited to just kind of have a conversation with you today about leadership. And you're the right guy for the job, I think. So thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And so grateful for the Palau organization and everything they do to help us get better. So thank you for what you guys are doing.
Well, we certainly need one another. And the tone of the conversation today is really the starting place for, you could say, any initiative. But as we talk about this idea of evangelism teams and this idea of creating a collaborative approach to reaching your city with the good news, and like I always say, it's hard to transform a city without transforming hearts. As we look into that work, we realize leaders are a really big deal. The right person for the right job becomes a primary area of focus. So in our Adaptable Playbook, it's like play number one that you can run in your city is just identifying the right champions who can take this mission and vision forward. So as we think about that, a couple of questions I have for you, Ian. When you think about the importance of leadership, give us a little bit of your own story of how you began as a leader into this work in Orange County. Tell us a little bit of your story.
Well, I was a pastor in the city of Costa Mesa here, which is one of the 34 cities in Orange County. And my responsibilities had to do with all of our outreach, everything outside the walls of the church, locally and globally. As I was doing that work, I just noticed the incredible lack of unity in the body of Christ. So as part of a pastor's prayer group in the city, I just kept saying, you know, it's great that we're praying for all these things, but when are we going to start working together in them? So as I kept beating that drum, the group was ultimately ready to start together. So we did. We started figuring out how to work together. The story would go, I ended up being kind of asked to ride point on coordinating and facilitating all this. As a result, what we call Trellis was born. It's basically a support system to try to help the church work better together in our cities. So it started in the city of Costa Mesa. And then as we walked that out for a number of years, other cities around us were like, hey, we want some of that in our city. Can you help us? So we've started to create a network of networks, so to speak, where we're stimulating teams of pastors in cities to work better together. So obviously when you're getting pastors together and they want to work together, evangelism is something that always will emerge. Like, we don't want to just do good things. We want to see people come to know Jesus. So how do we do that better together? So that conversation inevitably rises to the surface, I think, when you have a team of pastors that are really praying and seeking God together for their city. So in a nutshell, that's my story.
That's incredible. I think in order to replicate something, the something has to be of value, right? I mean, there has to be something worth reproducing, something worth copying. If you're one of those 34 cities, you're like, hey, I actually like seeing what they're doing in Anaheim or in Costa Mesa or wherever. For you guys to see the fruit of that and to see additional cities start to pop up with this strategy of, hey, let's come together, let's pray over this area. I see that as Jesus's model in Matthew 9. So in Matthew 9, it says Jesus is walking through the city with his disciples. He sees people kind of floundering. Aimless is one of the words used. Aimless and unsure of what they're doing, just kind of people just around. And I love it. It says Jesus says there he had compassion for them. And then he turned to his disciples. So he loved them. I think that's a step sometimes we miss. Sometimes we're really frustrated with our city. We can't believe people are doing the things they're doing. We can't believe people are making the decisions, political leaders or business leaders or city leaders. And you know, why are you doing this? This is crazy. But I love that Jesus has compassion for them. We see the posture of his heart. And then he says to his disciples, let's pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. It feels like that's a critical first step as you're pulling together leaders for any initiative. But certainly as we talk about something like the spiritual condition of those in your city, to skip a step of prayer seems like you're really missing the whole point. So how have you seen that step play out? You've got, you know, over 20 cities that are doing this. What's the fruit of that? What's some of the success of that?
Well, you know, one of the things that we do every year, Chris, and you've been to one of them, is our City on a Hill event. Each table is a city of pastors and leaders that are working together, praying for their city. And we get them at that event generally to think things through. So one of the real fruits came from that, actually, just even this last year. We did an evangelism study on the county. So we pulled together 25 organizations that focus on evangelism, like groups like Alpha and FCA, Child Evangelism Fellowship, Crew, and just all these groups. They'd never all been in the same room before, and they loved being in the room. So we kind of mapped out through the whole county what's being done to reach adults, what's being done to reach students, what's being done to reach children. We did a SWOT analysis of where's our strengths, where's our weaknesses, where's our opportunities, and where's the threats. And we mapped that out and then we prayed over it. What happened out of that is some collaborations that just started happening because of the gathering. Then we interviewed a bunch of pastors throughout the county, asking them how they prioritized evangelism in their church, how they trained and equipped people, how potent was their evangelism. We had them rate it. So we collected all this data, we put it in a report, and at City on a Hill, we put that into every city's hands. And we asked those pastors to prayerfully think about, what can you do together to increase the temperature for evangelism in your city? And it was so cool to see them, you know, on a big flip chart, and outline some things that they felt like God was maybe asking them to do together in their city to turn up the temperature of evangelism. So I think that's tied to prayer, right? It's tied to gathering them. It's tied to giving them data. And then the leadership emerges from them. It became leaders because it's what God wanted to see happen. A couple of them were wanting to focus on neighboring this year. And then next year in 26, they want to do an Explore God for their whole city. So like one of them just did a whole neighboring thing with churches on the same weekends, teach on neighboring. Then they pulled all their neighboring people together in the city to do a kind of a neighboring empowerment thing. it's just been so cool to watch them walk these plans out. So it's sort of creating the environment for them to own it. And prayer has helped them own it. You know, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think we often talk kind of internally at Palau about this step being kind of the secret sauce of anything going. I mean, what you've just described, Ian, is Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, had one of my favorite definitions of leadership. He said, a leader is someone who solves problems. Like, if you're someone that solves problems, people will bring problems to you. Pretty soon you're leading because you're someone that solves problems. And so what you guys did, which was brilliant, was just to kind of state the problems, right? Like, hey, here's some of the problems. And then these leaders kind of start to emerge and say, well, we can solve this. We can engage this issue. And I love that creative way to do it is just to kind of say, let's name the problems. And obviously at a high level, one of the problems we're sort of naming is just the atrophied muscle of the body of Christ in the category of evangelism. Like, man, we're not doing this really well. And as we've talked to different cities around the country, I know certainly for us in Seattle, I know the Plows would say in Portland as well, this doesn't really happen accidentally. It requires focus and intention. But stating the problem allows your leaders to kind of rise to the surface. You can kind of identify them and kind of name them and go for it. One question I have for you is, you know, you got 34 cities in Orange County. How do you identify the right leader? Is there a job description here? Is there a type of person you're looking for? You, Ian, are a great leader for Orange County, and part of your natural way of functioning, as I've seen you do it over the years, is you're great at listening, right? Like you're great at pulling people together. So you're that neutral convener piece is a big deal. You also are reliable in terms of you actually get stuff done, and you did pull off the survey and you did get the data and the information out. And then you also allowed for people to come up with solutions. But as you look at these 34 cities, how are you identifying those leaders? And is there like a picture in your mind of what this leader looks like?
I don't think it looks the same in every place. Like,
right.
It really does look different. And so we have sort of a sketch of an idea of what we're looking for, but it has to have some flexibility to it. And generally what we're looking for is someone that has a real clear passion around evangelism, has the ability to convene people, and clearly the ability to follow through and get things done. If those three things exist, then we'll see something happen. Beyond that, there can be any number of attributes and any number of roles that they play. But I think those three things are critical. And in some cities, it's a pastor who's on the pastor's prayer team. It's just passionate for evangelism. And like I think of the Viejo, he's so passionate about it. Like, he kind of helps really convene the pastors up there. He's just leading them in it. Like, I don't have to do a lot of work with him to do it. It lives and breathes in him. In other cities where there's maybe that the pastor's team has a little bit more of a shepherding bent, not as much of an evangelism bent, they need someone leading there that can really execute, that can really walk out the plan. It looks a little bit different, but as long as they have a heart for evangelism, they have the follow through, I think you can be the point person here. But it's uncanny to me how different it looks.
Very well said. I mean, I think there's lots of different ways that people lead, and all of those can be legitimate. You know, Chuck Proudfoot in Cincinnati at Work on Purpose, he mentioned a resource they've developed out there where they kind of note the difference between a leader, a champion, and a specialist. And so they would say a champion is someone who loves the vision. Let's go. Without champions, nothing's going to go anywhere, because these are the guys that get behind you and things tend to go. A specialist is someone who comes along and in the space of evangelism, maybe it's an alpha person, or maybe it's somebody who works really well with youth or whatever, but it's somebody who's going to bring, you know, some of that expertise to the table. One of the things Chuck said that I thought was so brilliant is like, but you do need someone who ultimately will lead and kind of take the responsibility to make the vision happen. And someone who's leading in one space may not be able to lead in another space. And someone who's already leading somewhere, often everybody's like, well, if we could just get that person, they would be able to lead in the space. But this is where I go back to that Matthew 9 and go, Jesus's advice was, let's pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. And something tells me that if the Father sends a laborer, they're gonna be able to do the job well. You know, Palau has this resource called Am I the Right Leader? Sometimes we think we're the right leader, and sometimes we need to get out of the way, which I think we'll throw in the podcast notes a link to that. But as you look at those leaders, it's like, you really do need someone that loves the idea, but that might be a champion. You actually need someone who can kind of make it happen. You know what I mean? Like actually execute on the vision itself. And that's easier said than done. Do you have examples of that going the wrong direction?
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes what I've seen is you can work with a leader, to your point, that's more of a champion and really wants to see something happen and is a cheerleader, but does not have any execution in them. Like they can't pull it together and pull them off. So as a result, we're helping them try to get something done, but we end up having to do it for them almost because they're not capable. So then it's about how do we get the right people around them in their city or in their context to help them do it.
One of the difficulties with you guys stepping in to help lead is now you're the leader, right? So this is one of the problems you can get in is you jump in, maybe execute, start to make it happen, but now you're the leader when you're really wanting that sort of locally owned, right?
Correct. That's not sustainable. It's about then trying to help them in their city build that team and see, okay, you've got a good cheerleader here, a champion to Chuck's verbiage, but you need someone with some execution. I said those three things of, you know, they've got to love it. They've got to be able to convene. I would also say collaborate. When I say convene, I mean be able to create a collaborative environment where they can empower others to walk it out. Sometimes when you find the right person, there might be areas where they recognize they need some development and they're willing to absorb that and move forward with it. And that's a really common problem, I think, with a lot of leaders in the ministry space is they can be a champion for something. They can have the energy, but they really don't know how to equip and empower other leaders and delegate things to them so that they take it and run with it.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And there's a difference. A lot of times when I'm talking to cities that are attempting to do an evangelism team in their context, I try to really delineate between a ministry and a citywide strategy to reach your city. A given ministry, somebody who's maybe really gifted in evangelism or an organization that's really strong in evangelism, like Young Life is in Washington State or something like that. Those are incredible. And those are part of that larger ecosystem. Right. But who's that right leader who can pull these pieces together, collect the vision of what different members of the body are doing in a given city, and then represent that collected vision back to everyone? Hey, this good news is for all people. This is for everybody in the city. We need all of us at the table. We need all of us to go, and we even need more people. And that's really that key person, I think, that we're looking for. And man, it's fun. It's fun when that person emerges because it does feel like the Father sent a laborer. You know what I mean? Like, and I've been pretty surprised sometimes as I've seen somebody pop up and it's like, man, that was like the perfect person and was on nobody's radar. And so I love kind of how you started the conversation today with getting people together to pray over a city, because I think that is so critical in finding a lasting solution, a lasting leader who is seeking the kingdom and can multiply that effort throughout the ecosystem of a given place. It's a pretty remarkable thing to see. Last question for you, Ian, as we're kind of wrapping up. As you look at Orange County and this idea of how would every single person in this place have an opportunity to find and follow Jesus, consider this step of identifying evangelistic champions and, you know, who can develop an E-team in each of these places. What's your top piece of wisdom you would give for listeners and people tuning in today? Maybe they're starting from zero and they're like, man, we'd love to see something like this happen in our city. What's your final word of wisdom for folks as they seek to engage their own place?
I would say you've got to think about it in terms of bite-sized pieces. Orange County is all squished together, 34 cities. You can't tell where one starts and the other ends. 3.2 million people, right? So if you just look at Orange County and that whole big picture, you're not going to reach every man, woman, boy, and child. But if I break it down into 34 cities and see God working in each of those cities, then it starts to become, oh, God, you can do this. Like, we can get to every man, woman, boy, and child. So you may not live in a densely populated area like we are with all these cities, but whatever your area is, like, figure out the bite size pieces where you can raise up champions. It could even be neighborhoods and leaders in neighborhoods that become part of the team throughout the city in the different neighborhood. Like, you've got to understand what your bite-sized pieces are and the leadership that you want to see develop in those areas. That's what makes sense to me.
That's really good. I think it's a great realistic way to do this. I love the idea of the big vision, but then what's the little thing we can do together toward that vision? Otherwise, we get overwhelmed. We think we're a big failure, but it's like, let's do that little action together. I think it's great advice. I'm going to end with a little passage from Haggai. This is chapter one of Haggai. One of the great renewals of the Old Testament is when they rebuild the temple and then they rebuild the wall of Jerusalem after pretty major failure, right? Like, God has left the temple. And so when they rebuild, it says that, this is Haggai 1:13, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the people, I am with you, declares the Lord. And then it says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and stirred up the son of the governor of Judah and stirred up the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And then he stirred up the spirit of the whole remnant. So just that idea that, like, okay, the Lord started to stir this one person and then another person and eventually the whole remnant to go back and rebuild this temple. And I think when we think about selecting the right leader, that prayer, Lord, who could you stir up in our city so that we could all be stirred up to fall in love again with this great hope that we have in Christ, and that this hurting, anxious, depressed, aimless, lost city could find hope and direction and meaning and joy. And it really is quite a remarkable endeavor. We hope you guys check in with us in our next episode. So we'll keep the content going. But step one, super important. Who's going to develop this E-team with you? Who's going to start thinking through how to reach your city? I think it starts with prayer. And that's a great way for us to end. So thank you, Ian.
Sure. My privilege, Chris. And prayer is the key in asking God to raise up leaders and giving them a context in which they can operate. That's how it continues to grow. So I just pray for everyone who's listening that you're able to go and find those champions and breathe life into them and create support around them so that it can expand in your context.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the ideas shared in this podcast, check out citygospelmovements.org for more resources, including the Adaptable Playbook, Am I the Right Leader for Our E-Team?, and Forming Your Dream E-Team. Join us next time for a conversation with a city leader in Fort Wayne, Indiana, who is doing an incredible job of step two, mapping the Christian ecosystem.